It's a pleasure to welcome back Bill Murphy, who runs Gold Antitrust Action Committee with Chris Powell, exposing gold market manipulation. Welcome back, Bill.
Good to be here, Chris. Thank you.
Great to have you. And you know, precious metals, we've been watching them closely here for signs of life. That dollar strength has been hurting us for the past few months. I'd like to see a bottom form sometime.
In my work at Metropole Cafe, I've been pointing out that 4 weeks ago Friday, we had one of the most blatant raids I've seen in the past 20 years. Gold was taken down from 1304 down, some $25 or so. It's been taken down almost every day since. There's been no rallies. And on that day, as of yesterday, before today, the dollar was lower than it was when gold broke at 1304. It was right below 95 then, and that's in the yesterday it closed actually a little bit lower. So, in fact, the dollar had absolutely nothing to do with this break. It was all, in my opinion anyway, gold cartel inspired. They're going after this market like we've seen over the number of times over the past 20 years. And since they raided that market, it's been straight down.
I have a hypothesis. That involves U.S. equities. You know, we've seen just the strongest, most robust bull market since the nascent bull market in gold around 2001 through 2012. This equities rally, there's just nothing like it. And they pulled through quite a pullback over the past few months, and the NASDAQ hitting unbelievable numbers, like 40-50% higher than its peak at the year 2000. Sure, I'm with you on the raids, but as long as investors can't get enough of U.S. shares, despite all the bad news out there, what's going to turn them on about precious metals?
What I'm hoping here, another thing I'd like to bring to your listeners' attention is that the gold shares, the HOI, is not moving down with gold. It's going sideways, and I think it could be a good sign. Well, you never know till after the fact, but today, for example, I mean, gold down, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 bucks, and the HOI is up slightly. It's very extraordinary what could be happening here. And what I'm hoping, I've been talking about with some of my people, we don't know, is whether this is an endgame scenario, that this raid, and I think it's a big deal, is an attempt to get the specs, out of, gold and silver, and get them as short as possible, and so that they can cover their positions and even get long because of price explosions coming sometime in the months ahead, maybe early next year, nobody knows, but been talking about this for a while, and there's a real good shot that that's what's happening, that this is an endgame situation, and we'll see if that's the case.
That's an interesting thesis you have there, because if you look at the charts, every time the precious metals, meaning the underlying metals themselves, have had an opportunity to break out. If you were conspiracy-minded, something has knocked these markets back for almost a year and a half. Something doesn't seem to add up in the equation when we look at these markets. So you might just be on to something, but you know what happens with markets? The more unfree you try to make them, the more that equilibrium insists on being reestablished at a later date.
My way of describing that is Newton's law of equal and opposite reactions, and that's what I think we have coming. You're correct in the sense of this is so egregious what's been done over the past year or two, that as bad as it's been, it will be that, at least be that good on it when it goes the other way and be just as spectacular. And I don't think, and this is not just an opinion, we're not going to have gradual moves up anymore. We're going to be like this until it explodes, and then it's going to be absolutely spectacular. Talk about resets, maybe that's the case, I don't know, but these prices are artificially way too low, and they're going to explode. And I'm hoping and expecting that this may be the gold cartel's exit plan, what we're seeing right now, which is, incredible. It just goes straight down.
Building up more momentum for the ultimate move that I think everyone knows is inevitable, that they have so much ammunition in their arsenal. They seem to be able to keep the good guys scrambling into the foxholes, but eventually, we're going to raid the bunker. Another, I think, key thing that everybody's watching right now, let's call it the trade skirmish. The media is playing this up as a trade war. Most of my colleagues seem to think we're nowhere near a trade war yet, as long as this nascent skirmish, if you will, or conflict, doesn't enter dangerous conditions. I think you probably agree that our president has a solid argument that we've had unfair trade for decades and something needs to be done. Is this really the best way to go about it? Because, you know, you and I think we've talked recently about the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act. Everyone's pointed it to the 1930s. It was a far less extended set of tariffs. It was also agreed upon by the U.S. Congress. Most of my sources seem to agree that it accelerated the Great Depression. So that had a really negative impact for about a decade or two. We need to do something, but is this it? And if not, what should we be doing?
Have to leave that to somebody else, Chris, because it's a great question and nobody knows, and that's why there's all this turbulence and discussion about it, and whether it's Republicans or Democrats, and some unfair things have been done by certain people and Chinese and so on, and so President Trump's trying to correct it, and if this is the right way, I try to stay focused on what's going on in the gold-silver world and expose, you know, the nefarious activities there, because it's so outrageous. That's something I feel pretty confident about.
Yeah, I'll never forget asking one of my parental units about 40 years ago, what was the cause of the Great Depression? Very wise individuals said even most experts have very little understanding, but I think today we're starting to realize that this is probably it. Taxes tend to accelerate inflation. And inflation, of course, the increase in overall prices. Nobody suffers more than the middle and working classes. But maybe more apropos to our discussion, inflation tends to be a plus for precious metals. And here's an example read today by Michael Schneider, that cost of goods have shot up $9,000 per new home on lumber due to tariffs imposed on Canadian exporters right here next door to the United States. That's $9,000. That may not be much to some of our listeners, but to some of us, that's a tidy sum to have to add to a new home price. We're also seeing luxury goods and items shoot up. My only question then is, do we need to be concerned about inflation, and would that be a big plus for the yellow metal?
Got a little bit of dichotomy here in the sense that some commodity prices like copper and soybeans have been hit pretty good, and of course, Nancy, we know what's happened to gold and silver. At the other side of the table, I mean, I think inflation is far higher than they're reporting in the United States in terms of everyday things that you need and go to use, and it seems that way to me and to many other people I speak to, that that's not being reported. So you've got it being pulled in both directions, but yeah, inflation is obviously a big reason to own gold, and of course we saw what happened in the late 70s and 1980, and when the gold price, you know, really soared percentage-wise, and that's with interest rates going to 20%. So yeah, it's a big deal, and it will be again sometime in the near future.
I just read this also in the last 24 hours that a key official, I think in the European Union, pointed out that when borders start to be closed to trade, oftentimes we see military boots cross those borders. In other words, you know, when trade stops, sometimes wars begin. And it just is an echo from history that maybe we all need to learn or be thinking about here. And obviously, these tariffs have been very good for our aircraft producers, and particularly the aerospace industry that services military as well as security. That can be a plus. But on a more strategic, forward-looking basis, why wouldn't the typical investor start thinking, I could own some defensive stocks here, but maybe I should have something more defensive to shield my portfolio if conflict breaks out?
As you might expect, Chris, I'm prejudiced about owning gold and silver here, and I think at these levels, I mean, the risk-reward is about as good as it gets, and I firmly believe that at some point, within the next year, year and a half or so, we're going to have price explosions that are going to be spectacular. As I mentioned earlier, I'm hoping that what we're seeing now is an end game for the bad guys, the gold cartels, I call it, with some sort of exit plan or strategy. And it certainly has been trading that way, and I think that those people paying attention and best in the sector coming up at these levels are going to be happy campers down the road.
So many of my key guests here, Peter Schiff to John Williams and others, who are convinced at the heart of the cataclysm, there really has to be a dollar implosion. There has to be a recognition worldwide that the deterioration of dollar hegemony has reached critical mass, and the chain reaction unleashed is total panic to shield purchasing power from price explosions. I think you view it more as a demand-supply issue. The market has just been manipulated so negatively for so long that there must be a correction?
Yeah, pretty much, Chris. I mean, I think it's the physical markets that's going to overpower this gold cartel. At some point, they're going to run out of supplies at these lowly price levels. And obviously, these other factors you mentioned, you know, can be, you know, big boosts for those prices to occur. But one thing I expect to have happen at some point, you know, we've had an explosion in the derivatives market that's gone bonkers over the past many years. And there really haven't been any issues with it or any problems. And all it's likely to take to set things off is something that's unexpected. That's how it always happens. It's something that people aren't thinking about. They think they have control of it, and something just comes out of the blue, and they set off a chain reaction. And I think that also can be a major factor in a panic about the markets, because where the paper markets just begin to explode.
I'd say you're the top guest that we've had here almost 13 years consecutively on Goldseek, who sticks to your original thesis that it's a supply-demand or demand-supply issue at its basis, at its heart. And there is another, David Morgan, formerly the Silver Investor, now of the Morgan Report. He would be closer to your viewpoint, although he also brings in his monetary concerns. But there's one other guest I've had here, and that's one of, I think, the benefits of maybe doing these interviews, is that you hear so many diverse opinions. Nick Barashev of BMG Gold, also the author of $10,000 Gold, points out that the pension funds and the retirement funds and many of these deep-pocketed funds haven't begun to invest. And once that starts to open up, the $3 or $4 trillion sitting in Tokyo pension funds just start to dip their toes into gold and silver, and there just won't be enough around. Could that be the catalyst that sends your scenario rolling?
Well, Nick's a smart guy, and yeah, it could, because it, you know, the way a lot of these financial organizations work, and it's all about what's in and what's trending and what it seems to be the right thing to do. And if that catches on, that's when your supply-demand situation goes off the charts. It just won't be there. Any of these other factors we've talked about today could set it off. And it's coming, as you say. It's just a question of, and I'm hoping that this is the end game that we've had to have to deal with before it happens, because this gold cartel, they've gone really over the top with what they've done the past 7 years, and it's been endless. I'm hoping they're finally reaching the end of all they can do at these artificially low prices.
This may be outside your purview. It has to do with Venezuela and what we've seen over the past 20 years in South America in particular. You know, I like to think of South America sometimes as a reflection. North America, as you may know, Venezuela was really quite an economic powerhouse, and they've just been suffering in runaway and then hyperinflation, where, you know, a gold coin was nearly one-to-one parity with the bolivar and dollar just a year or so ago. And within a very brief period of time, it became something like 10 billion bolivar per gold coin. Is it really a fair comparison? Do the parallels really hold with the United States? Because we still have that luxury of a reserve currency. But as long as the world continues to think of it as a reserve currency, you know, they're going to hoard it. Do you see a sea change moment where that belief ends, and what would it portend for the markets?
Well, perception is, you know, half the battle or all the battle. That's the one reason this gold cartel has been sitting all over gold and silver all these years. And any of these things that we've already discussed could kick that off, especially when it comes into a derivative situation, which we've never been in this position before. So nobody knows what could happen should that all of a sudden go into a nuclear chain reaction, as mentioned. And so it's possible. I think, you know, America's different than Venezuela, but that sense of fear and that lack of confidence is what sends people in a panic mode in the gold and silver. And we've seen it before, and we're very likely to see it again. I mean, you mentioned earlier, the stock markets have been going and going, and the debt's been going up and up and up in this country and other countries and all over the world, and it's just feeding on itself, and at some point, history is going to repeat itself again, and there's going to be, you know, some major, major corrections, and that's when I think gold and silver are going to come back in favor.
I think the takeaway point there is the time to secure your lifeboat is before the Titanic strikes the icy berg.
You're going to be very hard, if I'm right, maybe I'm not, that when these markets explode, it's going to be very hard for people to get on board because they won't want to pay up. They will wait for a correction that never comes. That's why you know, you're either, like you said, the Titanic's a perfect example.
again, one of the nice things is the physical precious metals, they act as a savings account in some ways. I mean, sure, you might get 1% on your dollars as they're inflated away. Gold tends to protect your purchasing power. Why would I buy that when I can earn 3 or 5% in a mutual fund or, you know, some other high-yielding stock? And my argument would be, well, you're actually conserving and preserving your purchasing power. You're tying up the funds, making them less liquid and less likely to be frivolously spent. You also have a, you know, an insurance policy for your home, your family, and your portfolio. So, neat stuff today from Bill Murphy, Gold Antitrust Action Committee, GATA. Could you tell us more about contact information in La Metropole Cafe?
Well, I've been doing it almost 20 years now, Chris. If people can go to the lametropolecafe.com and sign up for a 2-week free trial if they like. And as far as GATA goes, my colleague Chris Powell does a great job. And they can go to www.gata.org and get on that mailing list. So we're still fighting a good fight, and we're going to win. It's just taking a lot longer than we would have liked.